This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We go to the bottom half of the Midwest, where they're playing to get to the regionals in Indy, and it's Illinois as the sixth seed, the highest scoring team in the Big Ten, despite injury and illness, forcing Brad Underwood to use seven different starting lineups since January 8th, and they will be watching this matchup. Texas against Xavier in the first four.
So Xavier was 1-9 in quadrant one, which means that Xavier and North Carolina both in the tournament, a combined 2-21 in quad one. And how about Texas? They had seven quad one wins, but they were underwater in quad two. That doubled overtime win over Texas A&M in the league tournament put them in. We've been saying, guys, all season long, SEC, SEC, SEC. The committee apparently agreed.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That was from the broadcast yesterday on the Selection Sunday as they announced all the teams.
SEC, 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 14 bids. That's a record. And it's 20% of the field, essentially.
Right.
And it's for a conference that has not won a national title since 2012. Last time that the SEC had a national champion was in 2012 when Kentucky and Anthony Davis cut down the nets. That's 62 bids ago for that conference. Now they have, obviously, the expansion has given them the opportunity to increase their chances. I think they have to feel good about it. They could have an all-SEC Final Four, conceivably. It's not hard to fill out a bracket, Mully, and see Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And if it is that, I won't be as interested. I won't be as interested. It'll feel like a conference tournament.
Yeah, and again, the way they explained having to go through, having to make sure that not all those teams were meeting each other early and trying to keep them separate. It's almost like they're making an effort to have that as a possibility, David. If it isn't all SEC Final Four, I'm with you. I don't think that there's nothing that you hate to see the same teams play each other all the time.
Yeah, you do. It's just repetitive.
Yeah.
Seems a little redundant. But because Dustin was Mr. Chalky McChalkchalk, I wanted to see this. I thought this was interesting. A number one seed, this is according to the Sun-Times to Steve Greenberg, good little tidbit column this morning. A number one seed, as Dustin has like his whole Final Four, a number one seed has won 25 of 39 championships since the field expanded to 64 teams in 1985. A two seed has won it all five times. A three seed four times. A four seed twice. So 25 of 39 times a number one seed has won the national title, which I think Dustin read before he filled out his bracket.
Two twos and two ones. My only difference than you, David, yours and I's is exactly the same, except I have Florida and winning it all. You have St. John's, a two seed. Ooh.
I have 3-2s and a one.
Walking the plank.
I have 3-2s and a one. I'm out on a limb with going with Michigan State as a two, I think, beating Auburn a one.
And you've got Michigan State winning it all.
Yeah.
Did you check this morning what they were, what Michigan State's odds were to win this whole thing?
I did not. I didn't get to my FanDuel app yet.
Have you talked to AI yet? Have you gotten all
AI or AK?
All of that soulless son of a gun's picks?
I have not gotten AI's permission to fill up my bracket as I just did and take a picture and tweet it out and all that stuff. I did not get AI's permission or AK's. So I don't know if I'm on safe ground or solid ground or shaky.
Do you think those two things are linked?
AI and AK?
Yes.
Did you see the last press conference? No.
Wow.
No.
He spoke in code.
I think, though, when you look at there are a lot of things that are compelling about this tournament. I think when you talk about Duke and Cooper Flagg, it's really intriguing because of what his status means to their chances, to maybe the watchability of this tournament at times. Also, the NBA draft. I still wonder how badly is he injured. They're downplaying it, right?
They're downplaying it. He when he was first hurt, They actually rolled him off the court in a wheelchair.
I know. And that was dramatic.
That was pretty dramatic.
And it left an impression.
And then they said it's not so bad. And then they said there was a chance he could come back. And then they said he's not going to play in the ACC tournament. And then they said he's definitely going to be ready for the NCAA.
He'll definitely be ready. And and John Shire sounded very confident yesterday talking about that. But is that just... for show?
On Friday, they'll say he feels like going for a walk. And then I don't believe that you can count on him in the opening, let's say, two games of the NCAA tournament.
If that's the case, and, you know, this is March. Crazy things happen. Let's say Duke is an early exit and he can't play.
I don't think they will be.
I don't either.
Their seed is high enough and that they will be able to win without him as they did in their subpar conferences tournament.
So you don't think it's a worthwhile thought exercise to wonder what might happen if Duke is eliminated early and Cooper Flagg is unable to contribute the way he can, wonder if he comes back because of all those things?
I think it's probably more appropriate to worry that he's not as great a player as you think he is because they're able to win without him.
Oh.
I thought that's where you were going.
No, I thought you
were going to say that if they could get through the tournament until his return, will that impact his status in any way?
Nope.
And I honestly don't think – I understand you raised this earlier that maybe he decides to come back because he didn't get the answer. I think a guy like that wants to play in the league, and if he feels like he's going to be – the first player taken, he'll come out and play in the league.
Perhaps. I don't know that he's given those strong indicators. I think that's probably the way people project he will react, and maybe he will. But the conversation around him before this injury even occurred was that it wasn't a total guarantee that he was going to be entering the draft because of some things that he said during an interview, you know, maybe in February or earlier in the season. And I just wonder if this injury would have caused him to revisit those possibilities. I find it fascinating because of all of the NBA cities and fan bases that are invested in seeing their team lose
to
get
him
a chance to get a guy who might not even be in the draft.
But if it was like a serious enough injury, I mean, he's got a sprained ankle, you know, and we know that takes a long time to recover from. You'd be better off breaking an ankle than spraining it if your only thing is how quickly you can get back.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to break my ankle.
I'm just saying, a bone break. You know how that works. A sprained ankle can take a while, and you don't know how quickly, and you don't want it to develop into a chronic
issue. Duke's good, though. This is the best team that John Shire has had since replacing Mike Krzyzewski, and I think they've lost once since Thanksgiving. This is a team that's coming in hot. Who are they playing now?
Who are they playing? They're playing in a week.
The week ACC?
Yes.
Well, it's not the SEC. You're right. It's not the ACC of old.
Right.
It's not the Jordan and Worthy and Perkins. It's not that ACC.
Right.
It's not even the ACC of 5 years ago.
Yes.
It's an ACC that consists of
It's an ACC.
Cal
they could cut through the tournament without their best player and barely notice that he was absent.
Right.
It would have been easier had he been out there, but they didn't need him. That's the fact.
Yeah, so they should definitely plow through their first game against the winner of American and Mount St. Mary's. But I'll say this, Baylor is lurking, and Baylor doesn't have the kind of team that you typically have with Scott Drew, 19-14 coming in. But they do have a good track record in March, and he is, when you're talking about viability of teams and filling out your bracket, you look at the recent maybe month, the past few weeks, you look at a lot of things, who are their guards and who's their coach.
Yep.
How well can their coach get this team ready to go when it matters the most? And Scott Drew has a very good track record of doing that this time of the month, this time of the year.
Baylor also has a top five potential prospect that could be in this draft, too. So they got a star on their team. Yeah. VJ.
Guys like that can take over. Guys like that can definitely make a difference. Don't think they're going to beat Duke, but it won't be a cakewalk necessarily.
But I'm dead serious. I think the fact that Duke had basically, instead of being the number one overall pick in the draft, they're the number two. I think that is pretty impressive given the fact that their best player may not be available when they start the
tournament. Speaks to their depth.
Yes.
Definitely as deep of a team as probably in the tournament. Florida's also deep. They have a lot of reason to believe they're going to be a trendy choice by a lot of people who were swayed by what's happened recently.
How
it's a good team.
How much value do you put on fighting it out in a very tough conference? Do you look at that and say, like, for instance, Auburn looks like they're running out of bullets. They look like they have tired at the end of the year. They don't look like they are building to their best brand of basketball as they head into the tournament.
To a lesser degree, though, haven't we been through this conversation in previous years about the Big Ten?
Well,
the Big Ten had, you know, before the conference expanded, there were like eight or nine teams. You're like, did they beat each other up? And is this really the best way to go into March after beating each other up? And the SEC, you could make that same argument. Does it make you battle-tested and ready for anything, or does it make you worn down and prone to, you know, attrition because you've expended all the energy that you could possibly have into getting to this point? It's a good argument. I think it's probably the latter. It's probably – I think that they're better prepared because of the schedule they play.
But and let me ask you this, because this is also one of the Big Ten long-time arguments. Do you buy the idea that if you are allowed to play a more physical brand in your conference, when you get into tournament play, you have to be ready to be called for ticky-tack fouls?
You got to be aware of that.
That are not called
you
when
be
you're
aware of that.
Bodying up in your conference.
No doubt about that. If Alabama's playing St. Mary's in the second round,
right,
and all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Did he sneeze on everyone?
Yeah, wow. That's all of a sudden your best player's got three fouls by
exactly.
5 minutes to go in the first half, and then it's a closer game than you expect. Yep. You've got to be aware for everything. That's why I think the coaching matters as much as it does, because you go from playing in a league that has – every league's going to have maybe not as much as it used to, but it's a distinct style. You know, the Big Ten used to be the more physical type of league, and then get in the tournament and you have to adjust and adapt. But that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Illinois was really beaten up when they played Duke. But, man, that was something unbelievable, wasn't it?
Wasn't even close.
Holy cow.
But since that point, you wonder if that got their attention.
It seemed like it
Brad
did.
Underwood's made sure that it got their attention. That's a team that was also decimated by illness and injury. They got sick, and then they gave it to Mookie Betts, and I don't know what happened next.
Oh, God. 312-644-6767. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, top of the morning to you, laddie.
Happy
hey, Jeff.
Aaron Gobron.
Hey, good morning. Couple things. First, if Steve Hansen can drop an F-bomb during the anthem during slap shot at the referee, I think Bedard can also just tell a referee he got tripped. Secondly, with Dustin's question about the play-in games should be 16 seeds, you got to make sure you're not going against the number one seed by giving them like a team like Texas in a 16 seed winner. So that's why they kind of vary that, I'm pretty sure. And finally, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, and after David took some guff a couple weeks ago about being a MAC representative, and congratulations to Ball State women's team, I wrote a limerick about Mr. Mulligan.
Oh,
it's
no.
clean, and it's quick. Hey, you'll like it, Mully.
Thank you, buddy.
There once was a man named Mully. To the good name of David's MAC, he was Sully. Even though he hailed from Loyola, wrote his assignments in Crayola, the people still loved him fully. Hey, you guys have a good day.
Jeff, thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you,
that
Jeff.
That was kind. You did your assignments in Crayola?
Yeah. Well, I did. We didn't have
did you color ink. Inside the lines?
We didn't have ink in those days.
What was your favorite color crayon? Was it sienna?
Marks with rocks.
Remember that didn't have a crayon color named sienna? Did you have a sienna crayon?
No. Sienna.
Sienna. The Crayola. That's a Crayola color. That was very kind. Jeff spent all week working on that limerick for you.
Yeah, I was worried.
That you wouldn't have poetry when you came back?
I was worried there'd be a man from Nantucket involved.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't need that.
No.
No.
No, we don't.
We don't need that. Burnt sienna. Yes, burnt sienna.
Look at you. It's a crayon. Looking up Crayolas.
I'm looking up Crayola because I wanted to. I remember that somehow. Maybe it was ingrained. Maybe it was burnt into my memory. All right, I got a question for you before we have Brad Underwood coming up at 7:25. It's gonna be a good conversation. This has always bothered me. Last week it came up. I want to address it now with Dustin here as well. Here we are looking at the play-in game starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Alabama State, St. Francis, San Diego State, American, Mount St. Mary's, North Carolina, Texas, and Xavier. Did those teams make the tournament? Did those teams make the NCAA tournament?
Well, if I'm a representative or on one of those teams, yes.
Did you see the reaction when they got in?
Yes.
Did you see the cameras in the
room?
Do you think they were celebrating not getting into the tournament, Dustin? No. They were celebrating, we are in.
Well, I mean, they made the tournament.
They made the tournament.
Kind of.
No, they did it.
Kind of.
They celebrated. You can't undo that.
They kind of made it.
You can't unring that bell, Dustin.
They're not on the bracket, David. You see them above.
See, I feel the way you do. I like the reaction. I think it's cool that they're playing like at the Dayton Arena, the teams for two nights. I think all that's cool. But my point is, if they really made the tournament, then if when you submit your bracket, you should have to submit it by also picking those games.
But Xavier and Texas and San Diego State and North Carolina are on an 11 seed. So they made the tournament no matter what. It's the 16 seeds where you would wonder if you were trying to separate them.
St. Francis got a losing record, 16 and 17.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to win. I'm picking Alabama State. I'm picking North Carolina to beat San Diego State. I'm picking American to beat Mount St. Mary's. And I'm picking Texas to beat Xavier. Boom. Dustin. Done. That's part of the bracket. Right? No?
It is and it isn't. Because you don't get points. If you join a pool, you don't get points for those games.
In 10 years, when somebody on the Alabama State team is at a reunion or a bar down in Tuscaloosa, and somebody says to him, did you play college basketball? Yeah. Did you ever make the tournament? Is he going to say yes or no? He's going to say yes. In 2025.
Yeah, I did, but we had a losing record.
Doesn't come up until after the third drink. No. It doesn't. You remember getting in.
I made the
accomplishment is that you got in.
I never got in.
You got in.
I never played in the tournament. They wouldn't let me off the bench.
But I was hurt. I had a sprained ankle. It's worse than a break.
I had to wash the uniforms.
I think it's a good, it's interesting, but I don't think you have to diminish those teams.
No one is diminishing those teams. I mean, I would love if the Ramblers were in St. Francis.
Yeah.
Honestly,
wouldn't you love
they're
that?
They're playing in the NIT tomorrow night.
Yeah. Ramblers. They're welcoming. More basketball, the better. I love teams that take that on and take that approach.
Ramblers!
I understand why Northwestern did it because of injuries, and they felt like they maybe attrition had hit them too hard. But Loyola says, come on, we're still playing.
That's good.
I wish they would I wish they would have won the other day.
Did you see Drew Valentine
after the game?
Was he defeated?
He was upset that none of his players were on the all-conference team.
Yes.
And that Miles Rubin did not get the defensive player of the year.
Yes.
And he let people know about it. Good for him. Good for Drew.
Yeah. You got to stand up for your guys. Are you paying attention, Ander Sorensen?
Yeah. Well, let's not turn this into a hockey rant.
I didn't make it a hockey rant.
I'm two sentences away from a hockey rant morning.
All I'm saying is defend your people.
I know. I'm with you.
Protect your guys.
I'm with you. I couldn't believe what happened Saturday night.
I agree.
I could not believe it.
Let me ask something. You think Bedard wonders why he's playing on this team?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. That's a topic for another time. But I will say this. My son, who you know I talk a lot of hockey with, he watches pretty closely. He's had this summation yesterday, and it's accurate. Connor Bedard is broken. He's broken in a lot of ways. I think his spirit is broken a little bit. His game has maybe needed a little fixing, but it's unfortunate. But I think that's what it is.
I think that this is a huge hire for the head coaching job at the end of the season.
I think
they need to figure out who their next.
Because he's so worth salvaging. He's going to be still going to be a great player,
right?
He's having a down year.
I know it pains you to repeat what Blair said about him, but I also don't doubt that he's had a really rough time.
And that's not an insult to Bedard. It's just a state of affairs.
But
fix him.
As we talked about, the announcers have gone after him. Now the officials seem to be ganging up.
Give him some help. Help your star become a superstar.
Yes. And you can't just keep waiting on your young guys. You got to do more. You need to surround him with guys that can play hockey.
Good point.
And get him a proper... A guy that you can
sidekick.
No, yep. I'm saying a coach.
Oh, coach. Yeah, I think you're right.
That can manipulate
the
officials.
That's huge offseason.
Big deal this year. Okay. We've got to take a quick time out. We'll be back with Brad Underwood. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Illinois has been a team that's been high octane, extremely impressive, has hit some bubbles, some turbulence because of injury. Can they get it right and regroup and reset? Because they're as good as anybody. And then you got that Texas Xavier first four matchup. Wow, that'll be a good one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are delighted to welcome in the head coach of Illinois basketball, Brad Underwood, joins us on the guest hotline, Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. Good morning.
Congratulations, sixth seed, playing in Milwaukee. That is, there'll be a lot of support. That is nice and close to home. A good place to wind up.
Yeah, we're really excited. It's an accomplishment. It's something that you never take lightly in this business. Is hearing your name called on Selection Sunday. It's pretty special. It's great to see the excitement of a group of guys that worked really hard, went through some speed bumps this year, and not of their own making because of injuries and sicknesses, and succeed in Milwaukee. We're fired up. It's great for our fans, and should be a great region and a great weekend of basketball.
Yeah, congratulations, Coach. This is, I thought, a testament to your program and the respect that it has gained now. So I think on that hand, you look at, okay, pretty good seating, great location, and you finished the season the way you wanted to, and this is, I think, a nod to the point where you've taken this program. On the other hand, I think it's really interesting. I think there are only two other teams coming into this tournament with less tournament experience than your guys, 138 combined minutes of NCAA tournament experience. So it says that you have done a lot with guys who don't have a ton of experience. What factor, if any, will that play going into Friday night?
Yeah, I think there's it's my job to help them understand the urgency of the end, as I call it. There's no tomorrow. If you get beat, you've got to be playing well. You've got to have some dog in you, as I call it. You've got to have an unrelenting will to win. There's no saving it, and you've got to understand that. And that other team is competing just like you are, and we've got to understand that. And for the most part, this year we have been incredible in that area. I think we learned a valuable lesson in the Big Ten tournament. When we got punched, and you've got to handle that. But we're talented. I love this group, and I think we're going to go play our best basketball.
5 years in a row. I would imagine it never gets old, but it becomes habit, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I like to consider it six because of the COVID year because we were in, but they unfortunately don't look at it like that, but. It's incredible. I've said it many times. That is what the Illinois job should be. It should be a job that and a program that's in the tournament every year. It's very difficult to do. This league is brutal. It is filled with some of the best coaches and the best players. You look at the all freshman team this year, and it's filled with pros. So it speaks volumes to how good our league is, but I'm excited about that, and it's a lot of work for everybody. It's not just me. It's a great staff. It's a great administration. But most importantly, I'm really, really happy for our fans. They're seeing a program that is where it should be.
Well, the last time we talked to you, you were going through or having endured a lot of illness on your team. You dealt with injury as well, overcame a lot of adversity, which I think at this point in the season you have to feel like will only help you confront whatever is ahead for your team. But how did you get through it, Coach? What was the one thing that I think guided you through the difficulty that you faced?
Well, I think understanding that I can only control what I can control. You know, the controllables, as I call them, and there were games. We went into the Wisconsin game in Madison, and literally didn't know who we were going to start 30 minutes before the game. With Tomislav out, and we were starting Jake Davis, and he got sick in pregame. It was just challenges, and it was it's a tribute to our guys. They never got flustered. They stayed composed. It's adversity that you want to use this time of year, and we've got to continue to build on that. The game against Maryland in the Big Ten tournament had a positive. We got to play Merez Johnson a lot coming off a broken hand, and get some playing conditioning for him, and get his vibe back for live minutes. So, you know, there's some positives. There's adversity around every corner. We handled it the best way we could, and I thought we were exceptional, winning some games in that stretch as well, and then really playing well towards the end of the season.
How do you feel about playing an opponent, one of two opponents, Texas and Xavier, getting to see them prepare for you? Or would you rather know who it is and already go to work on that as opposed to watching them play?
Well, I think first of all, it's the first time I've played a play-in team. So this is something a little new. Usually I get a folder as soon as the announcements happen, and we've got a pretty good idea of who that opponent is, and we dive in pretty heavy in the scouting report. You know, last night I spent most of my time watching one of the teams. I'll spend a little time today on a second, so we're not just blind going in on Wednesday night. The first time we'll meet with our team, literally about either one of these teams will be Wednesday night after the game. But it's different. But it's they're going to get a game in Dayton on Wednesday and at 8:10 p.m. and we'll play on Friday night and one day of prep, and that's the way it is. So we do a lot of that during the season anyway. So it's not that new to our guys.
A lot of people might be looking and pay attention to the college basketball during the tournament, and they see Illinois back in. Oh, that's familiar. Then they look at your team like, well, who are these guys? Because there's nothing like the team that you brought in last year to the tournament. And besides Kasperis Jakusconis, who I think has had a terrific rookie freshman season, what else about your team should people know, and what are you looking forward to seeing about in players who haven't been there before?
Well, I think we've seen an emergence of Will Riley turn into one of the great, great scorers in college basketball. His last 6-8 games have been phenomenal. He's a guy that's slippery. You know, he's thin. He's just a gifted scorer. I think we go as Thomas Lobb goes. Vicic at 7-1. He was terrific in the Iowa game. A couple assists shy of a triple-double. And I think that, Kylan Boswell, Trey White, all those guys. And then you throw in Merez Johnson now, getting him back. And I think Merez can have a huge impact. He played 12 minutes in the Iowa State game, or Iowa game, excuse me. And had 8 rebounds. So I think his impact will help us. We're a team that is can be high octane at times. We've got to find that more often than not. But I think we're a fun group to watch. It's a play a fun style, and this young group is pretty talented.
They mentioned on the selection show that you've had 7 different starting lineups since January 8th due to all the illness and injury. Do you feel like you have a better understanding of this team than you usually would going into a tournament game?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Yes and no. You know, last year we never varied last year. And we were set. Our rotations were rock solid. We knew what we were doing. We knew that, Terrence Shannon, Marcus DeMosk, Coleman Hawkins, those three guys were going to be in just about every play. And when we rode a Terrence Shannon hot streak, through the Big Ten tournament and into the NCAA tournament, this year it's we're more rounded. But I'm also very, very confident in this group because we've got depth, Jake Davis, Draven Gibbs, guys coming off the bench that have had big games for us, Ben Humerkaus now, that give us stability and can give us a punch off the bench. So, unfortunate that we had that many lineup changes, mostly because of illness and sickness, but it's given us a lot of different ways to play and a better understanding of who we are, playing big, playing small, all of those things.
Last time we talked to you, I think that you projected there'd be double-digit Big Ten teams in the tournament. And I think a lot of people understood that. That wasn't the case necessarily in terms of getting 14 like the SEC. What did you think about overall the selections and maybe teams that were left out and just your overall view from your perspective?
You know, there's going to be great debate every year on why certain teams got in and certain teams don't. And I'm far, far, far from a metrics guy. I'm disappointed that Indiana's not in. Ohio State was a bubble team, had some great wins in the non-league. Very talented team. I thought those two teams had just as good a chance as anybody. And if they got in the tournament, could make a run. But there's always, there's been some SEC flavor all year, rightfully so. We played the top half of that league. Those teams are good. And I understand the 14 teams there, but I was disappointed that we had a couple that got left out. The Big Ten is phenomenal. Like I said, just look at, you can take 7, 8, 9 freshmen in this league and put them against any other league in the country, and we're in great shape. So I love the league and how competitive it was, and it's going to be a hard out in the tournament.
Does style of play impact officiating in the NCAA tournament? In other words, are there things that happen in Big Ten games that aren't called that will be called when you get into the tournament? And is that something that Big Ten teams traditionally have had to be aware of?
Well, I think when you get in the NCAA tournament, you get the best officials every night. And really good officials, they don't interpret. They call fouls, and they're not afraid to call fouls. A foul is a foul by the rule or the definition of what it is. And I think when you get in the tournament, no matter what part of the country you play in, what league you're in, you're going to get officials that call fouls, and we get the best. And officiating is a hard job. And I think it just becomes more of a fact that you're getting, three A-level officials on every game, and they're doing tournament games because of how good they are, and they call fouls. So I don't think it has as much to do with that. I think you're just getting a really high-level quality official, and you're getting three of them, and I think every game, has its own identity, and I think it's coaches and players' jobs to adjust to that, whether it's a really physical game or a not so physical game. So the officials will not be a impact. They're just going to call fouls and or not, and I think we've got to all adjust it that way.
So, Coach, you don't play until Friday night, 8:45. So on Wednesday night, when Xavier's playing Texas, do you get your team together, figure out how to find True TV and watch it as a team?
Absolutely. No, we'll be in Milwaukee. We'll travel on Wednesday. We'll practice here. There's a travel company that handles every team's travel, so we'll be a little bit at the mercy of them when we get there. And then, we'll get to dinner watch a game and then really dive in. We'll have it all broke down for both teams beforehand, and as soon as there's an outcome, then we'll gather our group again and just get real specific and have one day of Thursday prep and play Friday night on CBS.
What's the best thing about being in the tournament? What do you like most about it?
You're talking to an old school guy who one, I love Selection Sunday. Mm-hmm. I love the music that they play on CBS. it's basketball. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's just the atmosphere. It's the excitement. It's the one and done. I've been a part of big upsets. It's on both sides. The year we got beat as a one, the year we were a 14 and beat a three. It's an excitement and a buzz amongst the fans in the building that you just can't create. And I think the biggest part of all of that too is, you know, as a player, as a coach, you've really got to enjoy the moment because you can't take it for granted. It's really hard to do. A lot of really good teams got left out. So you really enjoy it, and you're playing for the national championship. This is what all the hard work is for, and just appreciating those moments. And you see teams play their very, very best this time of year.
Great stuff.
Thanks so much, Coach. We'll be watching and pulling for you.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yep.
That is Brad Underwood, the Illini head coach, sixth seed, playing Friday night. Milwaukee.
Illinois, that's a tough matchup against the winner of Texas and Xavier. And then if they're able to win that game, here comes Kentucky. Here come the Wildcats.
Or Troy.
Well, okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't think Troy's going to win, but who knows? Kentucky's got work to do.
Anything can happen in March. That's the beauty of it. Good to hear from Brad Underwood.
Yeah, yeah.
Done a nice job this year.
He's done an incredible job, and what a run.
Totally different team.
How good is that program?
Totally different team.
Really created a great program there. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA chant here at the Tokyo Dome.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. How about a PCA chant at the Tokyo Dome?
Talk about international appeal. Wow. That was really something. PCA. They were chanting, and the Cubs were producing, and it was fun to watch. PCA, did you see him steal third standing up? He stole third base standing up. Without having to slide, a little awkward on the base there, a little worried there. But they didn't even pay attention to him at second base. Boom, he takes it off.
He's very fast.
He makes things happen. I still am waiting for the arrival when he is at the top of the batting order rather than the bottom, but I'm not going to quibble. It's fun to see him.
It'll come.
Saw some good stuff from Matt Shaw over the weekend. Gage Workman playing a little second base. That was cool.
And Matt Shaw has a new number, David.
Number six. Yes. Number six.
That was a thing. Remember?
Sorry, Nicky Lopez. Number seven. No more 77.
Are they going to forget Nicky Lopez on the north side?
Well, they'll never forget him on the south side. Never. Maybe he's going back.
Never.
Maybe he's going back. They need a shortstop.
No, they got one. They got Chase Merrith.
We'll talk to Bruce about that at 8 o'clock. But the Cubs were fun to watch. That was a great broadcast. I love the way they incorporated all of the things going on around the games. And the trip, and we talked on Friday, Mully, when you were out, that was this going to be something that was a bonding experience? Was it something that's going to make them kind of sloppy in the fundamentals because all the focus is on the logistics of a trip and the fun that they're having? But that was intense. Matthew Boyd looked great, and there was an intensity to these exhibition games that the crowd brought to the game.
Hmm.
Fun.
Yeah, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and I had a really interesting moment there. I guess it was Saturday night, and it had been like 75. It was beautiful out, but it got cold. It dropped probably 15 degrees or something, and it was pretty cold, and there was like a fire, so I went over just to kind of warm myself up, and I was chatting to these people, and someone said to me, "Where are you from? Are you from here?" And I'm like, "No, I'm from Chicago." And the one guy said, "Oh, Chicago, like, what's Chicago like?" And I said, "Oh, Chicago is one of the great cities in America, maybe the greatest city in North America." And the guy said, he smiled, he said, "Why is it that everybody from Chicago loves Chicago? I never hear anybody from Chicago badmouth Chicago." And I said, "Why do you think it is? What does that tell you about what a great place Chicago is?" I was delighted to hear that guy, and he said he's been here a couple times, has never heard anyone from here badmouth the town.
That's true. It's a true statement. True? A lot of pride.
A lot of pride.
You hear people outside Chicago not always having so much
flattery
being thrown around.
But people that live here love this
it's
town.
Good exchange. It's and a then good you town. Said, well, there's that, and then there's PCA.
And I didn't talk baseball. Oh. They wanted to talk about the I was going to make a joke. Did you see the Charleston Banana, whatever they were? They played in
Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas played in
Raymond James Stadium,
and they filled it.
Yeah,
60-something thousand.
They're coming here.
Can you believe that? How did they fill it?
They're coming to Chicago.
I know that it's a show, but they filled Raymond James Stadium. That's a lot of people. That Tampa doesn't.
I got to look into that. That wasn't on my bingo card this morning, but I'm going to check it out.
Check it out, David. Get to work okay. on that one. We're going to talk to Bruce next. We're going to Japan. Bruce will speak Japanese with us. He'll just make about as much sense as a guy speaking Japanese. Wait, what's that mean?
I don't know.
It means we won't understand what Bruce has to say.
Let's hope not.
On the score.
Kizuna, which is like a Japanese word for bond.